It's Parky Wham. And we're with Kelvin Davis, MP for Te Tai Tokoro. Thanks for your time, Kelvin. Tēnā koe.
Morena, Dale. Tēnā koe.
Morena. I've spoken with Ashley just recently, and he was pretty buoyed by the figures that came out. Your electorate covers a lot of Greater Auckland as well, so you would have seen the numbers here in Tāmaki Makaurau, but perhaps you could reflect as well on the push, the effort, and the results out of the north over the weekend, please, Kelvin.
Yeah, so a lot of effort went into the Super Saturday. There were about 5,000 people in the upper Tai Tokoro that got vaccinated. You know, that's good effort. I would have liked more. I was hoping, you know, maybe 7,000, 8,000, 9,000 people. But there's a lot of effort, and I've got to just take my hat off to all the people at the vax centres who really put in a huge effort getting those needles into arms. Tāmaki Makaurau, if you look at the whole of Tāmaki Makaurau from counties Manukau, Waitemata, DHB, and you know right across Auckland, that was a huge effort. I think over 30-odd thousand more vaccinations. So well done to everybody. But it's not the end of the road. We've just still got to keep that momentum going. We really want over 90% of the whole country vaccinated. You know, Māori are actually calling for 95%. Trouble is, if we wait until we've got 95% of our people vaccinated, this, you know, level three lockdowns and that in Tāmaki Makaurau could go until the middle of next year. So let's just keep encouraging those people who are hesitant, who are a bit not certain about vaccines and that. Just keep it encouraging them, having those conversations with them, and eventually we will get to that target. It's always sort of the last 2% that is the most difficult to persuade.
The level three situation in Northland is obviously wearing a bit thin. There have been no new community cases in the north. I guess many will be anticipating a shift in alert levels today. I know you won't be able to comment on that until after 1 o'clock. But even so, could you speak of the frustration that those in the north might be feeling? They were plunged into level three as a result of an errant wahine seemingly travelling into the north. But without cases, should they hold some confidence that there will be a change not too far away?
Well, I mean, I'm obviously hopeful, but we'll have that discussion in Cabinet later on today. You guys in Auckland are have been in level three for a long time, so it's a bit poor for Northlanders to be complaining about being in level three for 8 days, I think it's been. But certainly, if there are no cases in Northland, it's sort of hard to justify continuing in level three. But just the nature of what those women were doing in Northland means that some people who had contact with them might not be aren't keen to come forward, and therefore COVID could be circulating in their circles. You know, so these are the things we have to weigh up. They're not easy decisions to make. We don't make any decision lightly, whether it's to stay in level three or whether it's to drop down to level two. But certainly we know the impact it's having on businesses, as those of you living in Auckland are well aware of as well.
Thank you. Now, the corrections portfolio that you carry, we know that the situation on the inside is dangerous. And if a prisoner has COVID, that it's very easily spread. We know, too, that the situation in North Waikato was as a result of somebody leaving remand and unwittingly taking the virus south. What assurances can you give us that that a lid has been put on that potential outcome?
Well, the first assurance I can give you is that the person left corrections without COVID, and then on their way back to where they were, the court said they could stay. They picked it up on the way there, and subsequently a few other people got infected. Corrections, it's quite ironic, really. Probably the safest place in New Zealand is, in regards to COVID, is in prisons. So when somebody comes into prison, they are kept separate, they are tested, they're kept separate for 14 days. Everybody who comes into contact with them has full PPE. There have been people picked up through that testing regime that have come into prison from the community with COVID. But because of the processes that Corrections has put in place, they were identified early and they're kept separate, and it hasn't got into the wider population, prison population. So, you know, Corrections has done really well. You might recall the measles epidemic that swept through the country 2 or 3 years ago. We had one person in, and measles is probably as contagious as COVID. We had one person in a prison with measles, and the processes that Corrections had meant that no one else got it. They were able to separate that person, able to keep them in quarantine inside the prison, and no one else got it whatsoever. So, you know, Corrections has sort of had a bit of a trial run with the measles. In the first lockdown situation, no COVID got into the prisons, bar one woman who came from overseas refused to get tested, and the judge said she can be remanded until such time as she did get a test. Subsequently, she did have COVID. There was only one person in the first lockdown. There's probably been 4 or 5 in this lockdown, but Corrections processes have got that covered.
Thanks. Can we swing across to your role as the Associate Minister of Education for Māori Education? Obviously, there was the mandating issue here, and that you must have been vaccinated or else you can't teach. But also, we know that there are many in the Māori education sector who don't take that call lightly. In fact, there's been some talk of people resigning rather than vaccinating. How have you gauged Māori educators' attitudes towards that kaupapa and indeed a return to school?
Yeah, so I engage quite closely with a rōpū called Te Mata Kāhuki, who are representatives of Kohanga Reo, Kura Kaupapa, Kura Aiwi and the Wānanga, and they're behind what the government's doing. And taking off my politician's hat and putting back on my teacher's hat and my principal's hat, if people want to sabotage their careers, if people want to self-sabotage their schools, then haere rā is what I say. The kids in their classes don't have the option to be vaccinated. And if they're prepared to jeopardise the health of the children in their classes, then I say, haere rā, off you go. And it'll put pressure on their schools, it'll put pressure on the numbers of teachers and schools trying to find teachers. But as a teacher and as a principal, the health and well-being of your children in your class is paramount. And I would just have no tolerance as a principal for anyone who put their silly beliefs above the well-being of their children.
What are we to do about the lost year of schooling? Because while some have been able to get by with digital learning, their overall assessment will not mirror those in years that preceded them. It's almost been a lost year for our tauira. What are we to do of that?
Yeah, there's been changes to the way NCA's sort of been assessed in that to take account of the impact of COVID. We're in a really different situation, aren't we? I mean, and there's no rule book for dealing with this. We're doing our best to support children, regardless of their year level, whether they're in the first year of school or whether they're in their 13th year of school, trying our best to make sure that there's some continuity with their education. I just encourage people to, you know, hold the course, not to lose faith, not to sort of give up on school. We know that education is the best way forward. This will be over in time, and, you know, people have still got to get on and prepare themselves for future careers. I'm not saying it's easy. It is very difficult, and I have a lot of empathy for all our school kids, also their teachers. But the situation is what it is, and as we know, it's not unique to New Zealand. This is a global situation.
Well, we could just give them pass marks. It'll roll on into next year, but would that be dumbing down our kids as they get out of school and then look for jobs, they say, hang on a sec, you're one of those COVID kids. You didn't actually attain that through that particular year. Has there been any thought of just saying, oh, sorry about that, kids, but you can move through to the next level?
Oh, look, you raise a good point. If we sort of just give out the marks, well, then they have no value, they have no meaning. So, like I say, it's a fraught situation. There's sort of no one-off answer. There's no magic bullet that will change the past 12 months in terms of education. So the Ministry of Education, they are being tasked. They're looking at how they can best acknowledge the learning that has gone on and looking at ways to try and support the kids, in particular those sitting NTA. I see some schools are sort of NTA level one. They're sort of, I'm not quite sure how to describe it, but basically saying, go on to level two, because it's at NTA level two and level three that it really matters. So schools are looking at ways to be creative to support their students.
Thanks very much for your kōrero. I have heard of schools who collectively, small ones, Māori, who have decided that this has been too disruptive, and with just 8 weeks to go till the end of the year, opting to stay in the framework that they've developed during the COVID time off school. So not returning to school in 2021 and looking more towards 2022 for a fresh start, hopefully. What do you make of schools making that decision?
Well, they've got to make decisions in the best interests of their children, their communities, and I guess with the support, engaging with the Ministry of Education, working out what's the best way forward for them. So, I just encourage them to continue to engage. But like I say, this is a unique situation, and there's no sort of single answer or one-size-fits-all answer for all schools across the country. But everyone's doing their best to support the children, the students with their education.
As always, thanks for your thoughts and the best until we get a chance to talk next time. Thanks, Calvin.
Kia ora, Del. Kia ora.
Kia ora.